Making today count, making today a good day. And actually, I'll go ahead and confess, I was reading John Maxwell's book, so these originals, all the notes that I add from that, those are mine, but these are the bullet points that you have, these are right from his book, and it has some really good things in it. So our daily practices determines our future. Carpe diem, has anybody watched the Dead Poets Society, the movie? Okay, do you remember that? Robin Williams, just a great movie, a great story. And he was trying to get them to think outside their box. They were at a private, very traditional school, and you weren't supposed to think outside the box. But that wasn't the way Robin Williams taught. And he was teaching them to seize the day, to make the most of the moment. And we want to do the same thing. God wants us to have an abundant life. Psalm 119:105, and this is a scripture that's going to guide every the 10 principles that I'm going to share today, is that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So what we do on a daily basis determines who we become and what we do. If we sow a thought, we're going to reap an act. If we sow an act, we're going to reap a habit. If we sow a habit, we reap a life. And if we sow a life, we are going to reap a destiny. So I'm just going to continue to read from my notes. You continue to follow with me. So our habits shape our lives. So today, instead of looking at 12, I've limited it to 10. We're going to look at 10 daily practices of what we can install within our lives and put within our lives. In Genesis chapter 1, thank God, God made us in the image and likeness of God. And so with that, he gave us a free will. We're not forced to love God. So, Daryl, would you do me a favor again? Would you pull these two shades all the way down? Whenever I look your way, I get blinded. I know it's that good looks, but that would help. If you could pull, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. Thank you. It's the glow still from worship. Praise God. Amen. So when you start on these different habits, a lot of times you don't see change overnight. Do you guys remember the story I shared last week about the penny and the kids? You know, if you take a penny and double it every day, you know, I told I'd be willing to, pay for the first week of doubling because then I'm only down $2.56. But at the end of 30 days, does anybody remember how much? You know, it starts small, but what do you get after 30 days? Over 5 million. So at 31 days, you're over 10 million, all right? So, you know, I didn't commit to doubling that penny past a week. A week I could afford $2.56, but after 30 days it's over 5 million. After 31, it's over 10 million. And a lot of times with our life, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read probably 5 or 6 verses out of there. But verse 18, it says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." Okay? Our path, God wants it to grow brighter. Amen? And so there's things that we do daily that change our lives. And we want to make sure that we sow the right things, that we're involved in change. Joy, I saw this on her Facebook post this morning. It had a caterpillar and a butterfly sitting at a table. I don't know if they were drinking coffee or whatever they were doing. And the caterpillar looked at the butterfly and said, "You've changed." And the butterfly said back to the caterpillar, "We're supposed to." All right? Well, we're not supposed to remain the same. We want to change, amen? Our path should go brighter and brighter. We should look more like Jesus today than we even did last week, amen? We should have a growth, and we're going to look at things that we can do in our life to bring growth. So let's go ahead and start in Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 18 is the verse that I just quoted, that our path is going to shine brighter and brighter until the full day. And then go down to verse 20. It says, these are principles that are going to guide you. "My son, attend to my words." Now, Scott, you're going back to Texas tomorrow, right? All right, heading, you know, in Texas, I went to school in Texas, Dallas for 2 years. And when they use the word tend in Texas, that means you're going to take care of business. Am I right? If they use that word, at least that's what I learned my 2 years down there, whatever. If you're going to tend to something, you're going to do it. You're going to take care of it, amen? And here it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Okay, you're hearing the word today. You should hear yourself preaching, speaking, singing, and praying the word every day of your life if you want a good life. That's part of meditating in the word. "My son, attend to my word, incline thy ears to say, let them not depart from your eyes." Okay? Let the word paint pictures of what you want in your life. Let it not depart from your mouth. Keep it in your midst of your heart. Keep God's word there. Hide God's word in your heart that you would not sin against it. God's word determines our priorities. It determines what's important. It determines how we live our lives. Amen? Hide it, God's word in heart. And then it says what it says. For out of it flows the issues of life. Your heart, what you put in, determines what you're going to get out. You put good in, you're going to get good out. You put God in, you're going to get God out. You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. So we want to make sure what we're feeding ourselves, amen? We want to feed ourselves good stuff. We want God out. We want good out of our life. And then verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. Don't let the bad stuff in. You know, I love watching sports, you know, to fill 10 hours in a deer stand. I was, you know, following play by play, you know, the Badgers or whoever else was on football. Thank God for that. You know, that helps you pass 10 hours a day, especially when, 9 hours and 59 minutes, you're not seeing deer out of it. Amen. It's another story, but God's good. He had mercy on me at the end of the day. God is good. Amen. All right, so guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't really watch TV or movies a lot, but maybe I watch a little bit because I quote them to you. But you remember, I'm going to keep sharing over and over that little quote from in the movie Saving Private Ryan. And, you know, those people met, you know, that went and rescued him and saved him. And, you know, who's the guy that said that famous quote, make this worth it? Tom Hanks, wasn't it? Okay, you remember that quote? Make this worth it, all right? So Jesus gave his life, and if we're going to make the death of Jesus worth it in our lives, we're going to have to begin to put principles in our life that are going to cause us to grow. So point number one is to choose the right attitude daily, okay? Can you believe? I didn't know if I'd ever do this again, but I'm really excited about it. I signed up to coach again. So start January 2nd, I'm coaching basketball. In Wautoma here. Now, I've never coached girls, so Lynn, your prayer was answered. Lynn came up to me and said, you know, we need to reach the community. And, well, I'm all for that. And, you know, you need to get involved in school, and I'm all for that. And I have been. I ref for 20 years. I coached cumulatively probably for 20 years when you combine it all. But I signed up. I'm going to come back and hit Dave Riley on this one. He's the one that originally sent me the email. Actually, it was the Lord. Okay, but I signed up, can you imagine this, Lord forgive me, help me out, to coach 7th grade girls. Hello, do you think, I'm sorry, if you're, is that okay that I say that? All right, so I'm sure they don't have any emotions and any feelings and anything like that, you know, and I'm such an understanding guy that that's just going to be all a piece of cake, amen? Wrong. You will pray. Hallelujah. But I am so looking forward to it. I like to just ramble during my sermons. If you haven't noticed it, I already signed up Steve Loyce, you know, to be my assistant coach. And you know what? It's pretty easy for him to get hired on his resume. All he writes is, I'm the dad of Ryan Loyce. You know, he holds the scoring record for all time for Wautoma. So I think we should be able to get hired. Amen. All right. So point number one is choose the attitude daily, a proper attitude, all right? We're creating, if you haven't noticed here, a culture at Wautoma at Crossroads Family Church. We've got a good church, but we're dedicating, hopefully you can tell from me that I'm dedicated to certain things, that we will have an attitude of peace. So if you come and you decide that you're not going to have an attitude of peace, guess what? Pastor Andy and you are going to become friends through that process, and you're going to demonstrate an attitude of peace, amen? Because in an attitude of peace, God causes the church to prosper. Eventually, just like the pennies, we haven't seen the growth that we want, but eventually the growth is going to come. Amen? Amen? You just stay faithful doing the good things, and eventually the good things that have it just snowballs, and good things will happen. Amen? So my wife is actually, she doesn't, you know, she when we coached soccer, we didn't have any clue what we were saying. Just kick it in their goal and don't let them kick it in ours. Any questions, all right? Well, basketball, I've been around basketball my whole life, so whatever, I should do all right with that. But Deb was also my assistant with that, you know, and she doesn't understand the X's and O's of basketball, but you know what? When she got in the little huddle, when we told the kids what to do, you know what? I guarantee you they knew exactly what they were supposed to do when she was done talking to them, amen? All right, so what I said, every practice, for all those years that I coached, basically every practice, I said there's two things that you can control. You can control your attitude, and you can control your effort. You don't have to be the best, most talented basketball player in the world to play tenacious defense. You know, when I coached my kids, you know, they might not have the X and O's, but I'll guarantee you they probably all had bruises, because if you didn't dive for a ball that was on the ground, you were in trouble, amen? You know, it's just the way you play. But anyway, let me get back to the sermon, amen? We want to control our attitudes. We are content. We choose to be happy. We choose to be peaceful. We choose to be joyful. We choose to get along with people. We choose to have the right mentality and the right attitude, and that is so important in life, amen? We also want to create the habit of winning. This is from the most famous and best football coach of all time, Vince Lombardi. He says, winning is a habit. Amen? I think he had a pretty good habit at Green Bay, amen? But he said the sad part of it is losing is also a habit. We don't want to lose, amen? We want to win. You know, a lot of people in their lives, they at the end of their life, they realize that they had the ladder up against the wrong building. They've been climbing this ladder, which they thought life was all about. At the end of their life, a lot of people, when they come to realize, they had the ladder up against the wrong building. They were doing this and this and this and this to get this and this and this, and they had the wrong priorities. They had everything wrong. And they realized at the end of their life, and you know what? Hopefully, everyone today, they realize you got your ladder up against the right building, amen? A life verse for me that has changed my life, it has changed my life, it has changed how I live every single day of my life is 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account. So one Bible verse has changed all these things in my life, because when I stand before God, I want him to say, well done, and I want to do good on that day. Amen? Point number two, we'll skip the faith part. I'll come back to the 10 spies and all that. But we will act on important priorities. Amen? All right, so Bible verses for that. Jenny shared with us today. And you can leave those up there. You'll look at the different ones. But she shared the verse out of Matthew 6 and verse 33. It says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything's going to be added to us. Amen? Joy, you quoted the verse, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So you want to get the right priorities. Amen? You want to do the right stuff. Now, go ahead and come up, Janelle and Jasmine. I asked them to, they're really good sports. Come on up. And I'm not sure, did I have you guys do this the last time? Did I actually have the bass up here last time I did it? Or did I just tell you the story? Did I have the bass? I did? All right, same exact one. Do you guys remember the point of this whole story? No, so that's why I'm telling it again. All right, turn around. Jasmine, you hold it. Okay, and just face them. Okay? All right. Janelle, would you measure for me? And this is mine, or I've had this for a lot of years. So go ahead and measure that from side to side and tell me what that is. Okay? What have we got? Say 17. 17, all right? It's close to 17, right? Okay? Actually, if this was a professional base, and you can go sit in, but would you stay up here for just for a minute? Okay, and face that way? Okay, so if we're going to get important priorities, the priority is the Word of God. Okay, and the same story, I've shared this story with you before. So when they played little Babe Ruth, what is Noah in? Is that called Babe Ruth, or what league was he playing baseball last summer? Fourth grade, fifth grade baseball. They didn't have a name for it, whatever. But a lot of times they'll have, you know, names for the different ones. Do you remember? Same exact story that I shared with you a few months ago. How wide was the base for Noah? 17 inches. All right? If they go and play for high school at the Wautoma High School or Wild Rose or whoever they play for, how wide is the base? 17. If they're going to play whatever minor league, A-ball, double A-ball, triple A-ball, or you go over, where do we go, to Appleton, what is it called again? The Timber Rattlers, and watch that game a couple years ago. We went to two or three of the games. Does anybody know how wide the base is? 17 inches. If you go to the pros, how wide is it? 17 inches, all right? So if a pitcher can't throw the ball over to that, what do they do? If he can't throw a strike, what do? Send him down to the minors or he's done, amen? All right, you're good. You're done. Thank you very much. Let's give her a hand. So as far as our priorities, we need to keep our priorities based upon the Word of God. Our culture is changing. Our society is changing. But we want to make sure we have the right priorities. Amen? We're going to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything's going to be added to it. Number three, we're going to follow healthy guidelines. Okay? I have not followed healthy guidelines the last 6 months, so don't follow my example, all right? Once I did my keto and I lost my weight, I went back to some of my bad old habits. But here we want to follow healthy guidelines. Now, one of the things that I said, that you won't find anybody, I don't think, on the face of the earth that drinks more water than I do, I think that that's healthy. Another thing, yeah, I would have never guessed in all of my wildest imaginations. A year and a half ago, I just started eating cabbage salad because once in a while I have stomach problems, all right? So anyway, why am I saying all this? We want a healthy life, amen? And in order to have a healthy life, you can't just pray about it. There's choices that you make that also affect our health, amen? 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." So I want my soul to prosper. That's actually the most important part, is your heart as far as your health. Not just your physical heart, that's important. But your mind, your will, your emotions, to be at peace. Matthew 11 says, God says, Jesus said, "Come to me, learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find what? Rest for your soul." We want to find rest for our souls. Amen? So we want to commit to be healthy. We want to do the things that are leading to health. Are you with me? Amen? Now, you guys, you'll have to forgive me if you don't like this story. That's not a way to start a story, is it? I'm going to blame it. I got Steve's approval this morning. All right, did I still got your approval, Steve? All right, I still got your approval, and we got our office manager's approval. So anyway, I'm going to do it. Now you guys are really thinking, amen? I'm talking about healthy habits. Now, you know, with going to Israel, Israel, that was a few years ago. This time I went to the Philippines. When I got back, I didn't think I had jet lag, but it did affect my sleep. And I don't know if it was just because I got back and the deer were starting to come in a rut and I was getting up at 4 in the morning. But you know what? If you're going to get up at 4 in the morning, you're going to have a good day after you get done with deer hunting. Wouldn't it be a good idea just to go to bed early? Okay, I went to bed at, what? This is crazy. Friday night before deer hunting, I went to bed at 7 o'clock. Okay? But there's different things that you can do to help health. And you know what? If you're, you know, this is just me. Does anybody accomplish anything worthwhile after 8 o'clock at night anyway? No? What do you got? You got the boob tube on. You got TV. You're not accomplishing anything. You might as well just go to bed. Amen? And then you can wake up early, because nowadays, I don't know if it's just because I'm old or whatever, you do this all the time. You're up at 3 or 4 in the morning. Amen? If you're going to get up that early, you better go to bed early. Amen? So this is a story about being healthy again, following healthy guidelines. This is a deer hunting story. Did anybody got any deer hunting stories? Up north, I lived up north, but I also bought into a cabin, just a really low-down cabin, a hunting shack, with about, I don't know, there must have been 8 or 10 guys that were part of this. It was just a good area for deer hunting, and it was a shack to sleep in before you go deer hunting. So just imagine, and I could tell you a whole lot worse stories than this one that happened at that cabin. That's why I was only a part of that for 2 years. But anyway, we better get to the story, amen? The guys were all at deer camp, and no wonder, I'm sorry, Bob, this is about Bob. Hey, Bob, you okay if I share this story about Bob? This is not this Bob, but anyway, my dad snores like this, so they don't want to snore with him or sleep with him anyway. So they decided it wasn't fair to make one of them stay with Bob the whole time of the hunting cabin, amen? If you want to deer hunt and you want to sit in your stand for 10 and a half hours on a day, you want a good night's sleep the night before you go deer hunt, right? So the first guy is up, and he sleeps with Bob, and he comes to breakfast the next morning. I'm sorry, I think this is funny. His hair is a mess, his eyes are bloodshot, and they said, "Man, what happened to you?" He said, "Bob snored so loudly, I was up, and I just sat and watched him all night long, never slept a wink." So he's glad his turn was done. The next night is a different guy's turn, and in the morning, the same thing. His hair was all standing up, his eyes were bloodshot, and they asked him, "Man, what happened to you? You look awful." He said, "Man, Bob shakes the roof with his snoring. And once again, I just watched him all night." So it's the third guy, and you know, he's kind of like, he's a cowboy man, he's a Texas man, a little bit rougher around the edges. And so he sleeps with Fred sleeps with Bob, and he comes the next morning, and he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And he says, "Good morning, everybody." And they look at him, they can't believe him. "Man, what happened to you?" He says, "Well, when we got ready for bed, I went over and tucked Bob into bed. I patted him on the butt, gave him a kiss goodnight, and Bob sat up all night and watched me. Anyway, I thought it was kind of a good. I don't think it's that. But, all right, if you want to make it through deer hunting, you got to get some good night's sleep, amen? You know, the cabin we were in, those guys, and I can't even tell you the stuff. You couldn't get any sleep. It's like, this is crazy. But, all right, so you want to follow some healthy guidelines, all right? That guy knew how to get a good night's sleep with that guy, amen? All right, number four, I'm going to care for my family. And we need to love our family. Jasmine and Janelle, would you come up again? I'm going to just use these guys for stories today. And the Bible verse in your notes there, come on, Jasmine, Janelle, you got to come up one more time. All right? It says, if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. Okay? Everybody needs hugs. I read something this last week. It said, you can't give little babies or kids too many hugs. So what are you supposed to provide for your kids? You're supposed to provide your kids with love. Amen? All right, so hopefully they remember how to do this, all right? Okay, you're going to hold this one, and you got to turn and face them a little bit, I bet. Jasmine, you come over here. All right, somebody's calling, all right? Okay. Hello, is it God? No, I can't give you a ride to church right now. All right, let's see if I can do this one, all right? All right, all right, you got to stay still here, all right? Go ahead and give her a little bump, pretty good bump, pretty good bump. Whoa. Okay, now she just spilled water. All right. Now, did you think she has some hot coffee here? No, she doesn't. All right. So whatever, and if you bumped Jasmine and coffee's here, and we would not let this happen because we would not want Dan to have to clean coffee out of here. All right. If you bumped her really good and coffee's in there, what's going to come out? Okay, when she bumped you, what was in there? And what came out? All right, thank you. You guys did awesome. Let's give them another hand. Okay, let me share. If you want a good life, you want to put good stuff in you. And sometimes people think that our life is because of circumstances, all right? And coming back to that first point as far as attitude, I forgot to mention this. This is from Chuck Swindoll. But he says, life is basically 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond. Amen? So let me read this, and you, Jasmine and Jelena, you did a great job. Thanks, man. You are holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and they bumps you and shakes your arm and make you spill the coffee everywhere. Okay, we didn't do coffee today. We did water. We couldn't hurt anything. So why did you spill the coffee? If Janelle would have had coffee in there and Jasmine would have did the same thing, why would she have spilled coffee? What would you say? Because somebody bumped into her, all right? For illustration's sake today, that's the wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in the cup, all right? There was water, so it was just water. Had there been tea in the cup, she would have spilled tea. Whatever is on the inside of us is going to come out when we are tested, and guess what? We are going to be tested. We are going to be tried. Life is not fair. Life is difficult. You're going to face storms. If you're not going through a trial right now, guess what? I hate to tell you, but most likely sometime soon, you're going to be going through a trial. And it could be a severe one, amen? And what is going to happen, whatever's going to come out during that, is what is on the inside of you. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, and it will, and I really believe that before the Lord comes back, he's really going to shake the whole earth. He promised that in Hebrews chapter 12. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And when it's shaken, you know what I want to find inside of me? I want to find faith on the inside of me. I want to find God on the inside of me. So we got to ask, what's inside of our cup? When life gets tough, what spills over? I want joy now, and I want gratefulness, and I want peace and humility. Cindy, I want to honor you, and I want to thank you for all the work that you did. She headed up the crew as far as our harvest celebration. That was just absolutely amazing, amen? So what we want when we have, and I didn't do a good job explaining, I'm new to this harvest celebration, but what an absolutely amazing day. If you want to do good habits, you know, and we're teaching on Acts chapter 2, one of the values and pillars of this church is we're not only devoted to the Word of God, not only devoted to prayer, not only devoted to communion, not only devoted to worship and evangelism, but we're devoted to fellowship. Wasn't there just a really, really sweet spirit there last Sunday? Amen? So we want, when we get spilled, we want to have had made deposits of joy and God and good and the Bible and being led by the Holy Spirit. So when the difficult things come, still joy and peace and humility can come out because I've already clothed myself with those things. Amen? Life provides the cup. You choose how you fill it. You're making a good choice this morning. You're filling yourself with God and His Word and fellowship with God's people. So today, let's work towards filling our cups with gratitude. That's with communion, forgiveness, joy, words of affirmation, kindness, gentleness, and love for others. Amen? Are you with me? All right. So number four, we're going to care for our family. All right. And I love being a dad. You know, I get to see our son, Thursday and Friday and Saturday. That's going to be pretty awesome this week. But if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than infidel. Okay, so what are we going to provide? We're going to provide love, amen? Crossroads is going to be have an atmosphere of love. Number five, we're going to practice good thinking. Turn in your Bibles, if you're not already there, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 22 through 25, it says, put off the old man. So we're talking about changing our life, changing our daily life a little bit, choosing the right attitudes, the right priorities, healthy guidelines, caring for our family. Now we're talking about number five, we want to practice good thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? For 46 years, I've been hiding God's word in my heart. From the day we got born again, Dad started us having us memorizing the Bible. And once again, it makes my job a lot easier. If you'd let me, I could actually go the whole 40 minutes and just quote Bible verses every single Sunday. Why? Because my dad got me started on right thinking. As a man thinks, so is he. I want to think like God. And where do you get to think like God? It's by hiding God's word in our hearts. Amen. The Bible is our manual. The Bible is God's thoughts, and I want to think like God. So put off your old man. I don't want to live selfishly or sinful. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to evil deceits and desires. All right? And how do you put off the old man? How do you change? We don't want to remain as a caterpillar. We want to be a beautiful butterfly. Amen? Verse 23 tells us how. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old. And then you're going to put on the new, but that happens by renewing your mind. Romans 12, it says, be transformed, transfigured, changed from the caterpillar to the butterfly by what? The renewing of your mind. We can have the mind of Christ. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded releases life and peace into your life. So I want to think like God, amen? In verse 24, it says then, put on the new man. We can change, amen? These are just daily things that help me change. We can change. And how do you do that? It's by changing your mind. It's filling yourself with the Word of God, meditating in God's Word day and night. And then when you meditate and think about the Word gives you the ability to do it. And then God said, I'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Everybody wants that, don't they? Everybody wants a good life. Well, these are things that God has given us in His Word, and the Word is the foundation and the basis of getting biblical, sound thinking. Amen? That's why you got so many ladies show up every Tuesday at Marcia's Bible study, because she's going to profoundly teach the Word of God. Amen? At this Ben and Lynn's Connect group and all the different Connect groups we have. It's Sunday School with Brad or whoever it would be, amen, with Carol. We want to hide God's word in our heart because that will direct our steps. What we put in is what's going to come out, and we want to put the Bible in so when the tough stuff comes, good things is going to come out. All right, what else about family? You got there in your verses, God chose Abraham because he knew he was going to command his kids in the ways of the Lord. Train your child in ways you should go. Man, thank you, Lord. Amen. Deb was a flight attendant for 20 years, but I think after about 20 years, she wanted to be around a little bit more, but she figured I better quit and get home if Luke's going to live and survive. Amen. You know, the bear hunting, the snowmobiling, the four-wheeling. You know, Deb was gone, and he had to go with me. I'm sorry, Luke, you're going. Amen. And you know what? He, for the most part, he loved it. But you know what? Love your kids. And I love this when I see you guys, how you love your kids and how you love your grandkids and the family that I see that we have represented here. Man, I'm just blessed. Amen. Somebody called this morning and said, hey, can we use the gym for a family thing? Yes, you always can, but you got to make sure that I'm invited to everything. Amen? Are you guys with me this morning? Let's care for one another. Let's love for one another. Two greatest things we just need to make a priority. Number one, you make God, loving God. Number two, love other people. And then life will basically take care of itself. These other things will help us along the line. Amen? So put on the new man, verse 24, Ephesians 4, if you're still there. Put on the new man, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. All right, number six, we're cruising along here, amen, and I better cruise fast if we're going to get done here. Number six, manage your finances. Now, once again, I tell you this all the time, I live a different life because I've lived in parsonages ever since I started pastoring, you know, so I don't have a house payment, but 57 out of 58 years of my life, I have not had interest payments. One year I had interest payments, whatever, that I paid for a car, maybe that was in college, I'm not sure, whatever, I think one year along that 58 years. But the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love him. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 that the borrower is servant to the lender, amen? So we want to manage our finances. If we don't have the money, we don't want to buy it. Amen? You guys, I got this from Deb this morning, or I think it was this morning. Okay, you guys want me to tell you how to save just a boatload of money for this coming Christmas? Yeah, everybody said, all right, here's what you do. This coming week for Thanksgiving, all right, and if I did this, oh my goodness, we would have holy war going up, so I'm probably not going to do this one. This is for you if you want to think whether you do it. You go home for Thanksgiving, and the first thing you bring up is you bring up President Donald Trump, you bring up the impeachment, and you bring up Adam Schiff, and you just throw out all of your opinions. You know why? You know why you want to do that? No, you probably don't want to do that, but guess what? The Christmas gathering is going to be way, way smaller, and you're not going to have to buy everybody gifts, amen? All right, whoever sent that to Deb, that was kind of cute or kind of clever, but probably don't practice that one. But you know what a lot of people do at Christmas? They go and spend, but they get in debt again, all right? That's not the goal of Christmas. The goal of Christmas is to experience Jesus, amen? So what else with our finances? One thing I'm blessed by living in Midwest Wisconsin and looking at your lives, it says the hand of the diligent be blessed. And when I look at your lives and the responsibility and the hard work that you're doing, pretty cool. Amen. Number seven, live out your faith. Do you guys mind if I read you another story this morning? Okay, this is from 1971 and this is from the Vietnam War. Does anybody know how many became heroin addicts during the Vietnam War? Give me a percentage of what you think. What's that? It was big. Throw me a number out there just for guessing. 50%. I think the stats that I read this week was 15%. Okay? It might have been higher than that. But in the Vietnam War, 15% of all the soldiers became addicted to heroin during that time. What do you know about heroin? If you take heroin, you're not supposed to, it's supposed to be like permanent and irreversible condition. Amen? Okay? But when they came back, how many remained as heroin addicts out of that 15%? Okay, the survey that I read, it was only 5%. So that was like crazy. How did that happen? Okay, so what changed? What changed was their environment. They had a radical change in their environment. Can you imagine being in Vietnam? Okay, the possibility of dying, very, very likely. All right, but all of a sudden when they're back in the United States, they had a change of environment. When that context changed, so did the habit of heroin addiction or use, among other things. We can learn from that. So what you want to do if you want to change any of these things, let's change our environment. All right? If you want, was it Proverbs 13? You hang with the wise, you'll be wise. Your companion of fools will be destroyed. You want good habits? Hang around people that have good habits. Thank God, you guys, I see this in your families. You've already taught your kids and you're teaching your grandkids good habits. Amen? And those habits will be installed with them. They'll learn responsibility. None of your kids are going to buy into this snowflake mentality that the world owes them the whole everything, amen? Because they grew up in your homes, so and you realize the only rights they have are life, liberty, and the opportunity to pursue happiness. That's what you get, and that's it, amen? Are you guys with me this morning? So you can teach. You can change the environment. You don't have to grow up and, have such a huge debt. You know, once again, though, I'm going to share for the third week in a row, maybe it was, that story about the coffee. You're not going to see immediate changes doing all of these things. But in the long term, you will. Do you remember the person that graduated and just throwing a number out there? $35,000 debt from college. Decided to give up. We don't have a Starbucks around here, but let's just say that you got a really cheap coffee at Starbucks every day for a little over $3. That's $100 a month, okay? And then you did this for a month, and you're like, man, I still owe $34,900. This is crazy. Let's throw this out, man. I'm getting my coffee. You know what? On all these different things, you know what? Change, a lot of times, you're not going to see it in the present. You're going to see it in the future. So you start these habits and start your kids young with all these habits, amen? Teach them how to work. You know, with Luke, and we were not a perfect example, but I like to tell stories about Luke. Our house was 10 feet from the parking lot where we lived, the parsonage and the church parking lot was probably 10 feet from our house. Okay, so when Luke was young, I started him shoveling all the grandmas in town, whatever their sidewalks, whatever, started them that early. Well, he liked to shovel the church parking lot. Well, I don't know, it wasn't quite this big one, but when the guy from our church would pull up with his truck and his plow, and Luke would go ballistic. Where, Deb, are you looking? Am I right? All right, not quite ballistic. He would be mad, not happy. What's he doing? That's my job. Okay, I'm sorry, a little kid can't take a little shovel and shovel the whole church parking lot. But whatever, that he had a little bit of that kind of mentality. No, that's my park. I'm supposed to be shoveling that. You know, get off my parking lot, whatever. But as far as passing and teaching, all of these different things, pass those things on. We want to create an environment. Amen? And if they see you loving God, hopefully they're going to love God. If they see you being responsible and working hard, they're going to follow that same example. Amen? So point number 7, let's live out our faith. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, the just will live by faith. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Do you believe if you put God first in your life that he'll add everything in your life that you need? That he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? That all things are possible to him that believes? And he will reward you, amen? One of the things about faith, we can just trust God to lead us. He did me for salvation. He led me to go to Bible school. He led me to be a pastor. He led me to be married to Deb. And you know what? It takes a really, really, really special woman to be able to be a pastor's wife. Amen? You guys, why don't you give me a little story here on me getting married? Okay, about 2 weeks into this, and I'm 29 years old. I probably called Dad and I said, hey, finally your 29-year-old kid's going to get married, all right? I'm just going to ramble for a second. You guys with me? Now, do not do this, kids. There's not too many kids here, right? Don't do what I did, all right? Okay, we were married for 4 months from our first date, okay? Do you guys want to know why I did that? I'm not as dumb as I look always, right? Any longer than 4 months, man, and there's no way that she's staying with this, amen? I'm sorry. All right? She is very, very, very neat, clean, and organized. And if you haven't noticed, I'm not always quite to that standard, amen? Hey, if you want to tour my office, today is another good day there. I've kept it clean ever since they did my office. But why did I share all that? No idea. Just wanted to share it. Amen. Now let's go on. Just trust in the Lord to lead you and guide you as far as marriage. Amen. As far as your future. We can live by faith. I've probably shared this story, but my brother was a missionary. And when you're a missionary, a lot of times you don't have much money. Is that right? Okay, Peter raised 3 kids for 20 years, whatever. My dad would say to Pete, what are you going to do when all 3 of your kids come home and they want to go to a college in America and you don't have, because my dad managed his finances, you don't have a penny in to send your kids to college. You guys remember what his response was? I suppose we're just going to have to trust God like we have the last whatever years of our life, amen? So he comes, you've heard this story before, but he goes to a private Christian college, Bryan College. He gets a job at the college. This is not all bad. Can you imagine getting to be a full-time golf coach, be that as a job? That's not all bad, amen? All right? And his kids graduated with a fairly expensive private Christian college education without owing a penny. Can God take care of you? Amen? Hallelujah, that's living by faith. My dad would ask him, and Dad was a man of faith, but he is also practical. What are you going to do? You know, Peter and Gwen laid down their life for Jesus in the Gospels. He said, what are you going to do about a place to live? I said, I don't know. I suppose we're going to have to trust God again, amen? You know what the guy did? He was a retired engineer. He goes, I tell you what, I'll buy a house and you can live in the house. How does that sound? I'm not making this up. This is a real life story, amen? That's exactly what a guy did. He was an engineer, made a lot of money, whatever. He was over my brother. He was going to my brother's church in the Philippines. He was over in the Philippines doing ministry. He knew that my brother had given his last 25 years, heart, soul, and everything he had to the people of the Philippines and didn't have a dime to show for it. And so the guy says, tell you what, you know what? I've always kind of wanted to retire and have a place when I come back to America. Place, I'll buy a home in Tennessee. And where are you going? Where do you got to go to Bible school again? Oh, I'll buy a house in Dayton, right outside of Dayton, and you can live there. I'm not making this up. This is exactly what happened. You know what? Living a life of faith is a good life, amen? And you don't need to have some pie in the sky. What you do is start right now and believe that God is with me today. That he's going to bless the works of my hands, that he's going to cause what I do to prosper, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I'm going to seek God with everything I have. Amen. He's worthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Number eight, we're going to do these quick. Invest in solid relationships. Amen. We're committed to unity. We're committed to peace. We're committed to be servants, and we're committed to get along. Number nine, we're going to practice good values. That's back to the 17-inch plate. Today, our government wants to change this standard, okay? If you don't realize what's going on, what they've done is the most corrupt thing that's ever happened in the United States in the history of America. That's what's gone on the last 3 years of what they've tried to do. You guys still love me this morning? Okay, wanting to change the standard. Next to the Bible, the greatest written article that was ever written is the United States and the American Constitution. Amen? And that the Bible is our first and foremost standard, but also we have a constitution of how we do life, amen? And that is our value. When we have these things, it's going to bless our lives. We want solid relationships. We want a solid standard. We want to practice good values. And, you know, back to that story about the guy that kissed the guy, whatever, slapped him on the butt, whatever, and make sure he got a good night's sleep. You know, a lot of things, the standards are changing now, amen? You know, if you haven't noticed, now they just passed the law. I'm not sure what state it was, but the guy can go in a girl's bathroom, girl's locker room, girl, whatever, and change whatever if he identifies as a girl. You've read all that, right? All right. The standard is 17 inches with baseball. It doesn't change. The standard is God's word, and that doesn't change. Amen. I don't care what culture, society, or anybody else says. Amen. Okay, now, if we went by that, I'm thinking about changing the rules because I used my buck tag yesterday, but when I see a big buck, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to shoot it, and I'm going to have it self-identify as a doe. I saw this on Facebook. I was like, you know, as long as we're having everybody else to self-identify, and I, you know what, I'm going to love everybody. I don't care if they're different. I don't, you know, hopefully I'm not judging people at all here. When they're around me, they're going to know that I absolutely love them. I'm going to be kind to them, but I'm going to come back to the standard is still the word of God, amen? Okay, I'm not going to identify the doe as a whatever, but the thought crossed my mind, amen? My buck tag has been burned, amen? What do you do if you see a big one? Well, you got to make sure you have somebody with you, I guess, amen? Number 10, just improve daily, okay? Jesus grew in wisdom, knowledge, favor, stature in the eyes of God and man, and we want to do the same. Samuel did the same thing. He grew in grace, favor, just like Jesus did. Amen? Let's close with a time of prayer. God is